each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelich of the Loretta and Mary team, heard every Monday here on Winds of Change. And you have figured out by now that I am not Father Anthony. It is my privilege to fill in for Father Anthony today as he is off on some much-needed vacation. And it is my privilege to sit here and talk to you listeners and also look forward to a great conversation with our friend of the show, Man of God, Dr. Mark Nemo. But there's just a couple things we want to get through so that we can enjoy all that Mark has to share with us. And the very first thing I would like to remind all of our listeners, Dobbs' decision has proved nothing is impossible with God. Say that aloud to yourself, listeners, or say it aloud to somebody in the radio room with you. Nothing is impossible with God. And I am quoting Blessed Mother and Luke, the first chapter. And so we need to remember that Dobbs showed us pro-lifers that nothing is impossible with him. So we need to keep our prayer requests fervent and vigilant. And we are praying for an end to mailed abortifacients, mifepristone and misoprostol, the RU486 drugs. And we want to pray that whatever it takes, the litigation that's out there, Congress's wisdom coming to their senses, but that mailed abortifacients an end to them. And we continue to pray for the protection and safekeeping of Cardinal Zen of Hong Kong, Father Chang, his assistant, Jimmy Lai, who is going to go to trial again for another treasonable offense. So money does not protect you in Hong Kong or China. And also the Nicaraguan priests and Bishop Rolando Alvarez, that they are protected and that God reveals himself to him in the Bishop Rolando. And there were recently 10 priests that were arrested, that God reveals himself to them in their cells and that they are buoyed up, that Christ has their back. And there's also, I wish I had more information, ladies and gentlemen, but tonight there's going to be a Night of Mercy. Tonight is Friday, July 21st, and it's going to be over at St. Vincent Ferrer Church in River Forest, 1530 Jackson Avenue in River Forest. And it's going to have a night that includes adoration, confession, music. It starts at 6 o'clock and it runs until 8:30 p.m. I know I'm looking forward to it tonight. I need to go to confession. And it's just a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord. Stopped off at the chapel at the church, really, in the largest monstrance, and spent some time with Jesus before coming here to the radio show. And so I just want to encourage you listeners, if you could just need a little summer respite, just take time, leave your phones at home, just head on over to St. Vincent Ferrer. It's on the corners of North Avenue and Lathrop and Jackson. So I hope to see a packed church for this delightful night of mercy. I understand from the grapevine, Bishop Lombardo and Sister Alicia Torres will also be part of that evening. So I hope to see everybody there. And now it is our privilege to bring Dr. Mark Nemo onto the show. Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
Praise God. This is delightful to have you. I don't know if you remember, Mark, but the first time I did the show alone, you were my very first guest. So I appreciate you coming on with our listeners again today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mark, do you still serve as the director of faith formation at two parishes in the Archdiocese?
It's not actually two parishes. Right now, we are one parish. With Renew My Church, we have three parishes coming together to form what is now called St. Moses the Black.
Praise God. And tell me, which three parishes are those?
So it was St. Columbanus, St. Clotilde, and St. Dorothy.
Wow.
So these two parishes closed, and now we have come together to form St. Moses the Black. And I'm the director for evangelization. So the titles keep changing, but, you know.
The mission remains the same.
Exactly. How it is in the church. I always have a joke. They work you to death. And then when you die, they canonize you a saint.
Praise God. Praise God. There was one year the Archdiocese offered the Catholic teachers a discount on their burial plots in a Catholic cemetery.
Yeah.
So now, Mark, you're not from, you are a United States citizen, and you worked very hard to accomplish that with your family. But can you tell us, you come from Ghana in West Africa.
Yeah.
And can you tell us about that journey coming from Ghana to the United States?
Okay, so I got to the States almost 19 years ago, which was in 2004. September will be 19 years. And I was already 40 years old. So I had just gotten married, and in a month I left Ghana and my wife. And I came to begin studies at Catholic Theological Union, pursuing a degree of a master's of arts in pastoral studies. So
praise God.
That's what brought me to the States. Okay, so I came and completed that program in 22 months. So by 2006, I was done. And then my wife then joined me, Mercy. And then I got this job at the parish, which was St. Columbanus and St. Dorothy. Both parishes kind of employed me and gave me this gig.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years of working, so in 2008, I got a scholarship to begin what's called the DMIN, Doctor of Ministry. And it's one thing leading to another. So I graduated in 2012.
Wow.
With a doctor of ministry. And that's almost like 11 years ago. So that's been the journey from Ghana. I left everything.
Yes.
I was director of a school of evangelization and discipleship for 11 years. And was like the Lord was saying, pack up and go to a new country. So I felt like Abraham.
Yes.
Leave your father's house. And so it's been a step of faith. So I came and, you know, it's been a blast. Then I got to know wonderful people like you, woman of God.
Oh, you're generous, Mark. You're generous. Yeah. But can I tell everybody the real backstory?
Please.
Father Bob Miller met you and began to work with you in ministry and said, there is no way we are letting Mark Nemo return to any other country. He is staying here in Chicago. We have so much to be blessed with by Mark. So really, it was a city and an archdiocese that put their arms around you in love, but also just to hold you captive because we didn't want you to go because you're so wonderful. I wish our listeners could see your face, because whenever you talk about God and the movement of God in your life, There is a smile that is just megawatt, could light up Broadway at night. So, yes, and you have a beautiful family, Mercy, and you have three daughters.
Yeah.
And they're just moving on and into high school and college, and you are blessed.
Now, yes, I always say I'm blessed amongst women. Because I always tell people I have one wife and three daughters,
yes.
And one daughter. So God seems to be blessing me only with women in my life.
God love you, Mark. God love you. Well, Mark, tell us what you do in the Archdiocese. As the Director of Evangelization at the Combined Parishes, you also do ministry. You travel the Archdiocese, and you really travel the world. Tell us what you do.
Okay. Tell us what you do. That's a very good question. I think often, it's good we started with who I am.
Yes.
See, because I think what I do flows from my identity of who I am. Okay?
Okay.
So I think that's very important, because I think that would really dovetail into what we're going to talk about with respect to Encounter School of Ministry.
Yes. Okay? We will get there. All right, tell us.
Who are you? Who I am is basically I'm a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a child of God. My baptism tells me I'm a child of God, loved into being by the Father, washed in the waters of baptism, called to holiness, and then called to witness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we've talked about the idea that, you know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and all these things. But I think my identity as a Christian, right,
mm-hmm.
is so key, because everything I do flows from that, mm-hmm. okay? So what I do is basically I'm a witness.
Amen.
I'm a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. So it's basically like I'm an apostle. I mean, I'm not a bishop. I'm not a successor of the apostles. But all of us have been called to participate, if you like, in the mission of Christ,
Amen.
Which is to make known to the world that God loves everybody. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And God desires an intimate relationship with everybody. So wherever I get invited, you know, into parishes, either to do a confirmation retreat, whether to preach at a conference, whatever it is, I'm very conscious of this identity, because it's from that whatever I do flows out of it. Okay?
Yes.
So my true identity isn't what I do.
Right.
Okay? True identity is to be Christian, and then it flows out of it. So I speak at conferences, I conduct retreats, you know, I do leadership formation and all that. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, the important thing is to recognize that I'm loved by God, and that I'm called into being and called to witness, share this good news. Like you were talking about the idea of a smile on my face and all that, you know. Like Pope Francis says in Evangelium Gaudium, you know, the joy of the gospel. He says many Catholics always look like they're just coming from a funeral,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is, you know, if we have good news, if we have encountered good news, which is Jesus himself,
yes,
it's got to put a smile on our faces. And first, that's what people are going to recognize, that we have joy.
Yes.
That's the real mark that the Holy Spirit is with you, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
And then people will ask you the reason why you have that smile on your face. And then that's an opportunity to tell them it's all about the love of God that we have encountered. So that's a bit about, you know,
about who you are.
Exactly.
Well, I must share with our listeners, and I've told both of these short little stories, but to really just emphasize and underline what Mark is telling you, listeners, I am a confirmation catechist in my parish, and I know of no one better to give an amazing confirmation retreat. And Mark graciously accepted our invitation, and he came to my parish. I am also the school mass sacristan. the very that we had the retreat on Saturday. The very next Wednesday, one of the students was in the sacristy because he was serving. This nice kid named Augie. And Augie looked at me and said, "Is that Mark coming back every week?" And I said, "No, Augie, unfortunately, you're stuck with me." But but that just proves how amazing the preaching of Mark Nemo is. Mark was so connected to those kids and just gave them the love of Jesus. And then, I'm not making this up, on Easter Sunday, you know how packed everybody's church is on Easter Sunday. So I'm squeezed into a pew with about three other families. And there is a man who sat next to me and he said, "I know you're my son's confirmation teacher. That Mark Nemo, you hit it out of the park." That was his words. That was the Michael Jordans of all gets for confirmation. And that father was there. So I guess my lesson to be learned, listeners, if you really want some awesome preaching filled with the love of God, take every opportunity you can to hear Mark preach. So now, Mark, you also play music. Tell us about your worship skills. Mark? Well, one of the things that I think you will have the opportunity to hear when Mark returns is all about his worship ability. So why don't we go into our first break, and then we'll get the technical difficulties ironed out. I'm Loretta Fralick. I'm filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, AM 750 WNDZ and 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Fralick, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Fralick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and we're having a little technical difficulty, and we're going to get Mark Nemo back on the program. Mark is here today to talk to us about Encounter Ministries. And as many of you, our listeners know that have been following us on Mondays and Fridays when I fill in, Encounter Ministry, School of Ministry, it draws from the richness of our Catholic heritage. We seek to teach, equip, and activate disciples to demonstrate the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in their sphere of influence. And what's really exciting is the supernatural of Jesus is a school that's lived out in the Encounter Ministries, and there will be a summer intensive. So we're going to experience the first four quarters over 4 days, and one of those will be identity and transformation. So you just heard Mark talk about how identity is so important. It's not what you do, it's who and whose you are. And so that is so important that I know, that you know, that Mark knows, and that you come in here that you are a beloved child of God. And, you know, there's so much that enters into that. When you know that you belong to God and that you are beloved, He can refuse you nothing. And you hear the stories from Scripture, and they come alive in a new way, because all of the stories of the Father, for example, the story of the two sons, all of the stories of the Father just come alive. And I know that the first evening, as we listen to Identity and Transformation, we're going to learn how to activate our identity as royal priests and bold prophets and anointed kings, and challenge what normal Catholic Christianity should look like. And there, one of the stories that we share, and we share it, you know, in Scripture, we've all heard it, the tale of the two sons, and one of them saying, "Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me." And, you know, we learn in studying Jewish culture, that would be a total affront. That would be saying to the father, "I wish you were dead. I want your money." But this father goes ahead and he gives that money to the younger son, who, as we know in the story, squandered that property, was living reckless, and ended up with nothing. And he realized that as a hired servant, he has nothing. The food the pigs eat, he can't even eat. And so when the famine arose in the country, he went and hired himself out, and it just wasn't working out. And so he went home to his father. And what I love about that story, while he was still a long way off, which means while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran. And what that tells us is that the father was watching. The father was waiting. The father was looking for his son to come back. And each one of us needs to see ourselves in that story, coming back to the father, but the father running, picking up his robes and running to greet his son. And it is there he reconciles with his father, and the father puts a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and throws a party. But what I love about, you know, the Father Simon teaches that by putting the ring on his finger, that act was like giving the son an unlimited black diamond credit card. And it basically said, "You have all the riches I have. You have everything still. Even though you went away, you disrespected me, you squandered the money I gave you." And so we let God speak to us, and we let God tell us how much we have in relationship with Christ. And that transformation, when we look at how does that transform us? How does that renew our mind? How does that cause us to look at God the Father differently? And so that is just such a valuable lesson that we learn in Scripture that becomes part of the first night of Encounter Summer Intensive. Mark, I can hear you faintly, and we're trying to get you back technically. I just talked with our listeners about how the first night, which is the night you're going to be teaching on the summer intensive, right?
Yes.
And I just talked to them about the father and how much he loves us, and the story of the prodigal son. What else do you want to share with these listeners?
Okay. So it has a lot to do with basically how I introduced when you asked me about the idea of what I do.
Right. You know?
What we want to establish here is that our identity is very important, because whatever we do flows out of that identity, okay?
Yes.
It flows out of that identity. Otherwise, you know, we'll be running our round.
Yeah.
And the question is, we normally put it this way in encounter, you know, I am, I have, and I do. You see?
Yes.
It's not so much I do, I have, and I am. Because often when we have it, you know, turned upside down, then it's like, you know, what we do is what gives us an identity. And that can be removed at any time.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't know what to do. So we would hope to establish that so strongly that our baptismal identity as prophets, priests, and kings are so important. We are loved by the Heavenly Father, called into fellowship with the whole Trinity, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And everything we do will flow out of that, you see? Because what happens is that, you know, when the enemy wants to attack us often, he attacks this foundational identity. You remember when Jesus was driven into the desert after he had been baptized?
Yes.
Right? You remember?
Yes.
The Jordan, the heavens were opened as he was at prayer. The voice was heard. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That was his identity. Jesus hadn't even performed even a single miracle.
Amen.
But the Father just affirmed him and said, I love you. I love you simply for who you are. And then he was sent into the desert. And take note of the temptations. Whenever the devil came, he said, if you are the Son of God, see, mm-hmm. if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God. So it's this identity that was constantly attacked. And Jesus always came back and said, you know, you can't trick me because I know who I am. I don't need to prove who I am by jumping off from the parapet of
right.
the temple, turning these stones into bread. I know my Father loves me.
Right.
See? So the path to really getting this identity strengthened is through what we call transformation. See, we need to be transformed in the way we think. Because, yeah, you see, and that comes through repentance. You know, the whole idea of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which says, you know, do not be conformed by the standards of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So transformation takes place usually through what we call encounters. See, through encounters with the Lord.
Right.
So the Lord creates opportunities for us to encounter him.
Yes.
And then when we encounter the presence of God, right, you begin to see that, you know, we get more intimate with the Lord.
Yes.
Right. And then more and more as we repent of, you know, the ways that we've made it to be, like we need to earn the Father's love.
No.
A bit like you were alluding to, and I'll say this and end it up, the whole idea of the prodigal son.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So the two sons were, some people have termed that parable the lost sons. You see, so it wasn't the prodigal son who was lost, because the older brother lived in the house of the father, but he was equally lost.
Yes.
See? Because he thought he could earn his way to becoming a son. See, that's why he told the father after the younger brother returned and he was upset because the father had thrown a party. What did he say? You know, I've been here. I've not refused to obey you. You know, I've done everything and you didn't give me as much as a kid, a goat, to celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, he'd even call him his brother. When he returns after squandering, you know, the inheritance, you threw a party for him. Listen to what the father said. You are here with me and everything I have is yours. You see? So he lived in the house with the father, but he didn't even know. All he had to do was to ask.
Right.
Exactly. So he needed, if you like, to be found because he was lost.
Yes.
And That's why that parable is so powerful, because it tells us about the love of, if you like, a prodigal father. So it's the father who was extravagant with his love. He spent his love without counting the cost.
Right. See?
So it's not so much the prodigal son, but the prodigal father.
Yes.
People have called the parable that way. So that's why the table was not complete until the younger son had returned and until the older brother had come in. That's why he went out of his way to invite him as well to the table. So many of us are like the prodigal son, but many of us are also like the older son. You know, we've stayed
yes.
in the church, we've done all we can, but we think we are entitled, you know, to God's. God doesn't owe us anything. You know, we are just loved into existence, and everything he has given Jesus is ours. So it's kind of claiming our inheritance and saying, Father, you sent your son Jesus to die for us. You love us. And because of that, whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. And so we claim it as our own. So that's a little bit about the identity and transformation, which is the first night.
Right. And as we talked with our listeners, this is an overview of
yes.
the year-long school that the Chicago campus will hold beginning in September. And so the first night is identity and transformation. And can you tell us more, Mark, about the second night, hearing God's voice and the prophetic gifts?
Wonderful. So once we know our identity, right?
Right.
And then we are constantly in the process of being transformed, because that's what the whole Christian journey is. It's all about being transformed. There's ongoing conversion, ongoing transformation. Then we know that God wants to speak to us. See, we serve a God who speaks and acts. Those are two things we need to discover about the God of Israel. Throughout the corpus of Scripture, we know God speaks and God acts. And so it's one of God's delights to have his children hear his voice.
Amen.
That's why the second night will be hearing God's voice and the prophetic gifts. Okay? Jesus said it clearly in John chapter 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They listen and they follow.
Yes.
And he demonstrated that to us himself in his ministry. He says, I do not do anything on my own accord. What I see the Father do, that's what I do.
Amen.
What I hear the Father tell me, that's what I do. And we are called Christians because we want to walk in the way of Jesus, the Christ.
Right.
Okay? So when we hear God's voice, then we can exercise more our, what do you call it? Our mission that we share with Jesus in baptism as prophets.
Right.
Because in baptism, we share those three, if you like, mission of Christ as prophets, as priests, and as kings or royalty. So the second night will deal with, you know, ways that we can hear God's voice. Of course, we have the word of God. That's one way that God speaks. But God also speaks through that still small voice within us. God can speak to us through images, pictures, thoughts, whatever it is, you know. He can communicate to us. And he expects us to be spokespersons of God. That's who a prophet is. The Hebrew is nabim, a spokesperson of God. So whenever we speak God's word in his name, it has an effect. Look at the first reading we heard last Sunday, you know, from Isaiah chapter 55, which says, as the snow and the rain come down, so it is with my word, you know, and they water the earth and all that. This, my word will not return to me void until it has accomplished that which I sent it to do. So that's the second voice, if you like, night about hearing God's voice and the prophetic gifts.
Wow. Well, we're going to our next break. And when we return, we will hear from Mark about the next two evenings, Power and Healing and Inner Healing and Freedom. This is Loretta Frelick filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus-Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick, and we have Mark Nemo with us. And Mark is one of the team for the Chicago Encounter Ministries campus that's going to be held July 31st, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Chicago campus, St. Francis of Rome School at 1401 South Austin Boulevard in Cicero, Illinois. Classes will be held nightly from 5 to 9 p.m. Mark, before we start talking about power and healing and inner healing and freedom, can you share with our listeners what an encounter intensive night would look like if they were interested in coming?
Okay. So the encounter intensive night will basically be a kind of a model of what the full encounter school will be like, okay?
Sure.
So for the encounter school, you know, lasts for, if you like, 2 years. And in the first year, right, you have these four quarters for the first year, identity and transformation for the first quarter, hearing God's voice and prophetic gifts for the second quarter, power and healing for the third quarter, and inner healing and freedom for the fourth quarter. So this is what will be modeled in that intensive way for the 4 nights of the summer intensive. Basically, it's going to be a time of worship. So when we gather, we will praise God, we will worship God for a good 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And then there's the teaching. So there will be teaching, just like Jesus did. Jesus taught, Jesus preached, but he did not only end after teaching. He always demonstrated what he taught. He put it into action. We call it activation, okay? We call it activation. So in that night, you will have worship, you have praise, and there's a teaching. And then that teaching, if you like, is prayed into being. So for example, for the activation, if you've been living your life as the prodigal son, for example, who thought he could take the inheritance and go and squander it, okay? And you think maybe it's going to be difficult for you to return home, the father has his arms opened, okay? So
yes.
he would receive you, and what? Basically, even when you have your act of contrition prepared, you know, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven and earth. He says, quick, bring the rope and kill the fattened calf. And so that will be kind of asking God to take us back, okay? And if you're that type too, who's been like the, you know, dutiful older son, the activation will also be for you.
Amen.
You know, if you've thought that, you know, kind of like you've slaved yourself in the Father's vineyard, you've done everything right, you've kept the commandments and all that, and what we want you to recognize, everything is gift. everything is grace. Okay, if you've been able to even keep the commandments of God, it was because of the grace of God. Okay, so you will be grateful in thanking God and saying, God, my identity truly lies in the fact that I'm your son. It's not because I have done these things, because I've kept your commandments and all. It's the other way around. And you need repentance. So we're all going to come before the Lord during the activation to say how sorry we are. So that's an aspect of the night. And then for the night, sometimes we might break into small groups where probably a question that came out of the teaching might be hashed out, you know, so that people can speak and say, okay, this is what maybe spoke to me during the talk. This is one thing I want to do in terms of the renewal of my mind and transformation. So that's how it's going to go every evening. Okay.
Praise God. So on the third night, we move into power and healing. Can you tell our listeners what that will entail?
Okay. So once we can hear God's voice, and once we can move in the prophetic gifts, we want to basically do what Jesus did. Okay? Jesus told his apostles, if you read Matthew chapter 10, he commanded them as he sent them out on mission. Okay? Go preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Right? Raise the dead. He even told them to raise the dead.
Yay, man.
And proclaim that, and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. So healing is so much a part of the church's mission. Okay? All of us have been called to what? To exercise this gift of healing. That means the church from the very first century has always prayed for healing.
Amen.
So that God would bring relief to those who are suffering. That's why we have Catholic hospitals, for peace sake. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. When people are sick, the Catholic Church doesn't say, oh, God bless you, go and rest. That's why, you know, we have hospitals that treat cancer, that treat all manner of diseases. But the church prays for healing, you know, because people are not only physically sick, but people are emotionally sick. People are mentally sick. I mean, look at all the mental health issues we are having right now. People are depressed.
Yes.
Okay? So, and we, the disciples of Jesus, sometimes we are carrying all kinds of sicknesses in our body. So it doesn't hurt. We're going to ask Jesus, Jesus, heal. Jesus, restore. And that's going to be what we're going to teach on with power and healing. So there's going to be a teaching on, you know, the theology of healing, how the church has understood healing from the time of Jesus through the time of the apostles, through the time of the church fathers, over through the centuries up to the present age.
Amen. And you know, Mark, if I could just interrupt to let our listeners know, especially those that are considering attending the summer intensive, you know, these teachings aren't ours. They aren't something we made up, you know, willy-nilly, and we're just sharing with people because we think they sound good. Father Matthias Thieland, who began Encounter Ministries with Patrick Rice, he teaches at the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. And Dr. Mary Healy, who also teaches at the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit and is a member of the Pontifical Council on the Scriptures, she is part of the curriculum review for Encounter Ministries. So this comes from the richness, the teaching and tradition of the church. This is not something we've created for this event. This is who each one of us is as Catholics.
That's right. You're right. Okay. So it will be the whole gamut of power and healing. What I mean, if you would go and ask Bishop Grubb, for example, you know, who did his PhD thesis on exorcism. This is so much a part of the church. So Jesus not only healed the sick, forgave sins, right? but he also cast out demons. So we'll be exposed to this, the whole gamut of what we call deliverance ministry. So it's good that all the baptized are exposed to this, that this is part of the treasure of the church.
Amen.
And as you are exposed to this, maybe you're going to ask the Lord, and the Lord who gives so generously his gifts might give you a gift of healing.
Praise God.
So that you can pray for the sick and they will be healed. It has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with the Lord who came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, that's the name of Jesus. The name Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, means God saves, right? And the word for save in Greek is sozo.
Okay? Right.
It means to heal, to restore, right? To make whole. That's all that Jesus came to do. And he has entrusted this mission to the church. So that will be the third night of power and healing, where the theology of healing and power evangelism and all that will be exposed.
Praise God. And
yeah.
And then people will return for a fourth and final night of
yes.
inner healing and freedom. What's that going to look like?
Exactly. You know, so like I spoke about the idea of power and healing, the whole theology behind it. Inner healing and freedom is an aspect of that, okay? Mm-hmm. Inner healing from what? Inner healing from hurts, you know, from resentment, from different ways that, if you like, our emotions are bound up, you know, where we become stuck in the past because of things that have happened to us, usually by those who are so close to us. And you know it. We all have dysfunction in our families. Hello. Family dysfunctions, you know.
I know you've met my family,
if,
Mark.
Yeah, don't pretend as if you're not broken. We all come from broken families, you know. But the beauty of it is that, you know, God wants to come and heal our brokenness.
Amen.
And heal our dysfunction. So inner healing has a lot to do with that. And the idea here is that, you know, you can't pretend to be somebody who goes out as a witness when you have not dealt with your own inner brokenness. You see?
Yes.
So the idea is that God heals us so that we can become channels of healing. So we want to emphasize that to the participants that, you know, bring your own brokenness, let the Lord start to heal you, and then you will go out, if you like, as a wounded healer, because that's what Jesus was, you know.
Amen.
We are all wounded and broken, but we still, you know, hold a treasure, like St. Paul says, in this earthenware vessels, right?
Right.
So that's inner healing. And then when we speak about freedom, it has a lot to do with, you know, freedom from oppression, you know, oppression, freedom from bondage or possession, where we are possessed by all kinds of things, and then obsession, you know, where we are obsessed. So that deals with the whole area of the demonic, you know,
right.
The demonic. And many Catholics don't know we've been called to do battle, spiritual warfare. Okay, it's not about so much chasing the devil or, you know, seeing demons every time, you know, a door opens or anything. No. We want to be aware of the fact that there's an enemy who wants to oppress us, who wants us to be obsessed. And it all comes when we have opened doors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't we all opened doors in our lives, particularly through sin?
Amen.
Okay, I'll give you a typical example. The whole idea of pornography, right, which has become so rampant in our culture right now. Okay, if you're somebody who's been watching porn, for example, since you were 11 years old, can you imagine how you can literally be obsessed, you see, and you can have victory over the area of your sexuality if you are addicted, for example, to porn?
Right.
And so you may be even married, but this addiction what persists. And so when we speak about freedom, it's basically asking Jesus, with your permission, because Jesus can't free you without your permission. You see, so the persons ministering to you would actually ask your permission respectfully, where you simply admit and say, this is an area which has almost like become a stronghold, okay? And I want to willingly do what? Surrender that to Jesus and invite him into that area. So the prayer teams will help you go through that. You may have to go to confession to receive the sacrament, which is important, but then your brothers and sisters will help you break free, okay? Break free from this stronghold. Because all of us have had these strongholds in our lives, whether it's addiction to drugs or to pornography or to unforgiveness or what have you. You know, so that's the area of inner healing and freedom. And Jesus came for that, you know. In Luke chapter 4, right, when you read from verse 16, when he went to the synagogue and the scroll was handed to him, which had, you know, the text from Isaiah chapter 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to what? To preach good news to the poor. Listen to what he says. Liberty to captives, right? That the oppressed may go free, and the blind may see, and that what? A year of favor
from the Lord.
So this is like Jesus's, if you like, his program. His manifesto.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. If a political party was, you know, this was his manifesto. Preaching the gospel has a lot to do with what? Bringing liberty to captives, right?
Yes.
Freeing those who are oppressed, bringing sight to the blind, and then proclaiming a year of favor. So these 4 days will really be packed in the Encounter School to expose ordinary baptized Catholics to their inheritance.
Amen.
This is yours.
Amen. You know?
And let me give a testimony. For example,
please,
if my daughter comes to me, one of my, you know, the many women in my life, right? My daughter comes to me and says, Daddy, you know, I have a headache, you know, I have cramps and all that. My first thing is not to say, go get, Tylenol. My first thing is to say, sit down. And I lay hands on her. I pray that God heals her, because the sickness or whatever she's going through might be more than just pumping Tylenol into her body.
Amen.
So then I pray over her. I say, if she's emotionally disturbed, maybe something is going on, Jesus, I ask you to heal it. Because like my father used to say, he's the bishop of the domestic church, his house.
Amen.
I'm the head of my household, so I exercise that authority as a father, as a husband, and as a baptized Catholic. And when I finish, I ask her, how do you feel? Well, I feel okay. Okay, I said, what's the pain level? Says it's about 8. Okay, then I pray again. What's the pain level? It's come to about 4. I say, okay, let's pray again. What's the pain level? It's come to 2. Okay, let me give you Tylenol. So the Tylenol completes it.
But amen.
Eventually, you begin to realize what did the healing was the love.
Yes.
The love that I surrounded her with, that I listened to her, that I cared, right?
Yes.
You've heard this before. Don't tell me how much you know if you don't show me how much you care. You see? So it's the love of God that heals people, that restores people. And let's do it. Let's do it this way. And then we're going to see a lot of healings and restorations.
Amen.
In our life. Amen.
Amen. And we're going to live as the church was created to live, supernaturally.
My favorite
quote from Father Matthias is, Christ did not die for a powerless church.
That's right.
We have to get in there. We have to align ourselves with these, you know, we call them biblical principles because they're in the Bible, but they're Jesus principles. This is how Jesus did it. And so we have to take advantage of, you know, this knowledge, because at the end of these four nights, I'm going to tell you, Mark, I really believe a lot of people have already signed up for the school. And the school starts in September 5th. And people, you know, everybody who's planning a conference these days, I keep telling them, people don't want head knowledge anymore. They want a touch from God. And Encounter, you and I have both done the first year of the Encounter School. And I can tell you it's as if all my years, and I'm not going to say how many on the radio, but all my years of being a Catholic involved in not just the renewal, the charismatic renewal, yes, changed my life. But I'm also a graduate of the Archdiocese of Chicago lay ministry training for 2 years that was coupled with the diaconate. You know, I have been educated in Catholic schools from, you know, grammar school to college. This is like, it's like it encompasses everything I've learned as long as I've been living as a Catholic. And, you know, there's just no more room anymore for a watered-down religion. There, you know, Christ laid his life down and died. And I got to be worthy of that, and it's never going to happen. Yet when the Father sees me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus, and I am forgiven. So shouldn't, when the Father see me, if he sees the righteousness and I've got the forgiven part down, shouldn't I be living like Jesus and bringing others into that knowledge?
Yeah, praise God. And beautiful. I mean, Loretta, and how cheap is it? I mean, it's $100 for these 40s.
It's amazing. It's $25 a night. And you're getting almost each night, you're getting a full conference event. And, you know, I just want to share with our listeners that some of the other teachers in this program, in addition to Mark Nemo, Father Raddick, you know, I can't say enough wonderful, loving things about him because he truly is a holy priest of God. But, you know, my mother was just sick and he learned of it. And we were in the emergency room and I was upset. And Father Raddick said, you know, how can I help you? And I, of course, said, pray. And I said, Father, who's running two parishes now, I said, Father, you know, if you have a chance, if you could come hear my mother's confession and give her the sacrament of the sick. Do you know, he laid everything down on his desk. He left his parish and he came over to the emergency room immediately. And my mother was so much more relaxed after she got to go to confession and have the last rites. So Father Raddick doesn't just, you know, talk the talk. He walks the walk. He is Jesus walking on this earth, and he's got such joy coming out of him. And he's like a joy bomb. And then we have Deacon Jean Bussari, who's from a parish up in Arlington Heights. We have Deacon Rich Holyvote, who has been on the program a couple times talking about the School of Identity. And then Peter Newborn, who is just back from Africa, where he has been ministering for many years. And so the combination will be amazing. And just everybody has been praying for such a long time that this is going to be God's blessing on our people here in Chicago. It is going to start to turn this church around.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Okay. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being with us. As usually, it goes too fast. So we're going to see you on July 31st, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Chicago campus for the Encounter Ministry Summer Intensive. EncounterSchool.org/Chicago. And if you want more about Mark Nemo, you can go to Mark's website, which is Mark. Mark, what's your website?
stmosesparish.org. Okay, so it's my parish website, stmosesparish.org.
God bless you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Welcome back, man, Lorena. Bye-bye. The winds have changed. Thank you.
each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say?